This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
on every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, it's peppy today. Oh, it's big time today. What a win from the Knicks. What a win. May the 4th. I hope we're not going to be that show that all shows May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. I hope we're better than that, but I'm not sure yet. We've got Rothenberg. We've got Canty. We've got DiPietro. It is 5 o'clock in the morning. We have a ton to get into. Mike Tenenbaum with a little draft recap at 7:35. Our version, our watered-down version of CMT at 6:45. Let's say good morning on this rainy Tuesday to Chris Canty. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Dave. It sounds like you were taking a shot at our very own Alan Hahn, and I won't stand for 98.7 on 98.7 crime. I'm not going to do that.
I was not. I just.
Everybody knows that. He says, "May the 4th be with you." That's his thing.
Saying it is fine, but being like a consistent theme throughout the show, I think we're better than that. It wasn't meant to be a shot at Hahn. If it were, I would let you know.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm doing well.
Good.
Another night, another Knicks win.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ho-hum. Rick, how are you? Good morning.
I'm doing great, Dave. I'm doing fantastic. I mean, we got some show business to handle at some point.
What's the matter?
Reading some of these tweets yesterday. I mean, I don't know what the communication, what happened with us. I mean, I thought we were in love. I thought we were, you know, radio husband and wife. And I need Twitter to tell me that there's a new Dave Rothenberg podcast coming up.
There is. That is accurate.
That would have been some nice information to share with the group, maybe.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm not going to defend the fact that I hadn't told you. I think that's fair. But why? I mean, why is that something that you absolutely had to be in the know about?
Well, because it's big. I mean, you have a podcast. I mean, you probably use this show to let people know that you have a podcast.
Well, I wasn't going to. I wasn't going to step on anyone's toes on this show and mention it. But if you are going to bring it up, absolutely, it can be promoted. Now, it's not only a podcast. If you're asking, it's
no, here
a
we
podcast.
Go.
And a full YouTube channel as well, in conjunction with a big production company.
Wow. I wish I had friends that paid for me to have shows. That'd be great. Get my own hockey show, my own YouTube channel.
Why can't you ever be happy for someone else? Why do you always have to revert to how does it affect positively or negatively me?
Well, because I want your full attention on this show. I mean, this is the most important show.
Do you think that you're not going to get my full attention on this show? You don't think I can do a weekly 35-minute podcast without giving you guys more than my full attention? That is very unfair.
Well, no, listen, sometimes, I mean, when things aren't, you know, talked about as a unit, right? Like, we don't have a show meeting, you don't let us know, and then all of a sudden I see a tweet, Dave's got his own podcast, is this the first step in Dave leaving the show? I get a little concerned.
Okay,
I mean,
and
Chris
when, gets that, a concerned. When that was thrown out there, because I did receive that tweet in response, oh my God, are you leaving the show? What do you remember what I responded to that person?
At that point, your words.
Not a chance. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was,
it's
of
all
course
hollow.
Not, was yeah. the response.
It's
so
all
at that
point.
If there was the 90 seconds of, oh God, and you don't think I would have told you if I was leaving the show to do a podcast for 30 minutes a week? You think with everything that Michael does and Don does and Peter does on the side, they tell them exactly what they're doing? No, of course not.
No, I think I disagree with that. I think Michael knows when Don's going to go do. I mean, Don announced he was going to have his own channel.
Yeah, but I didn't want to usurp time on our show by discussing the podcast. But now that you're bringing it up and obviously very, very bothered by the fact for some reason, of course I'll make mention of it.
All I want is your full attention. That's it. I want your full focus on this show. And all of a sudden, you're branching off. What happens if this YouTube channel becomes like this big hit? And now you got YouTube. You'll start doing TikTok videos.
Well, then who can tell? But Vinny Jones puts in a good tweet. He says, and this is exactly the reason you don't tell Rick. Hater.
I'm not hating. I'm happy for you. I would like to hear from you. I mean, that would be nice. Like, hey, guys, I got some exciting news. I got my own I got my own YouTube channel, doing a podcast.
Okay. All right. Well, now you know. I apologize.
Next thing you know, you'll be hosting KJZ. You'll leave us.
Chris, are you equally offended? Because that was not my intent to offend anybody here.
No, not at all, Dave. Okay, not even remotely concerned that you're leaving the show.
I'm not leaving the show. It was never even a thought to leave the show.
Yeah, and it's okay that you didn't bring it up to us and that we weren't the first to find out about it. It's okay that we found out on social media. It's not a problem at all.
For me?
It's not a problem.
Rothenberg
Untucked. It's not a problem for me, Dave.
I don't know. It feels like you guys both feel about it. If there's really hurt feelings, I apologize. And if you're playing, then I appreciate. All right. Can we please get to the Knicks? Can we? I mean, my God. The Knicks go out there. They put up a huge, huge lead. It gets a little dicey in the fourth quarter. But I got to tell you, even when it was cut to 5 points with 4 or 5 minutes left, I was like, you know, they're going to find a way. Like, I've done a 180 on this team. I wasn't even all that concerned. In the past, I'm like, they're going to lose. They stink. It's going to fall apart. Nope, not last night. I always believed they were going to win. And in the end, Derrick Rose, Randall find a way. And the Knicks with another victory, a game that they were underdog. And a lot of people did not think they were going to find a way to win.
No, I mean, that was one of the concerns, right? I mean, that's what we saw earlier on in the season. And you've seen the improvement with this team was in games where all of a sudden it got dicey or close games. The Knicks, they were finding ways to lose as opposed to ways to win. Like, they weren't closing out those games. And you got to give them credit, man, from where they started to where they're at. We talked about the three-point shooting, and again, first half. I mean, what they did from three, they hit 11 threes in the first half. Defense, as usual, is good. John Morant, I mean, he gets himself kicked out of the game because he's so frustrated. He was brutal. But, I mean, Derrick Rose has been great for them.
He's better this time out than he was last time with the Knicks.
Let's not even talk about the last time he's with the Knicks. That's when he went AWOL and everything else. Like, let's focus on what's happening right now, his relationship with Tibbs. But you're right. I mean, that game gets a little bit dicey, but I felt the same way you felt. Like, they're going to find a way. Someone will step up. Derrick Rose will step up. Julius Randle will step up and find a way to win the game, and that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Derrick Rose in the last 4 minutes scored 6 points, and Julius Randle hit a big three-pointer with about 4 minutes to go to kind of give them a little bit of breathing room. But, I mean, they took control of the game when they absolutely had to, and that's been the thing about this Knicks team. When they need one of their stars to step up, you're always getting that performance. It's Julius Randle, and it's somebody else. Of late, it's been Derrick Rose. And we're talking about another 20-plus performance with him coming off the bench. So it's impressive to see what he's been able to do this time around with the New York Knicks and coming off of COVID. You know, it took him a couple of games to kind of right himself and to get back to the Derrick Rose that we saw prior to that. But, I mean, I can't overstate how important he is to this team right now and how important he's going to be going down the stretch, because they're going to need somebody other than Julius Randle to be capable of helping them close out games. And last night he showed you what he's capable of. On a night where Julius Randle didn't have his best stuff, Derrick Rose stepped up in a really big way. So it's really impressive to see this Knicks team on the second night of a back-to-back going up against a playoff-caliber team, frustrate the Memphis Grizzlies to the point where their head coach gets tossed and their star point guard gets tossed. We say it all the time. This Knicks team is tough to play against, but now you're seeing evidence of that, seeing how they frustrated the Grizzlies because of their consistent effort and their being fundamentally sound on the defensive end. So tip of the cap to Tibbs and the rest of this Knicks team, man. Like, it's no longer at the point where you're wondering when the other shoe is going to drop. At this point, we're just accepting that this is a really good basketball team, and they're going to have a chance to win every single night.
It's amazing that they do this. It really is. Because we looked at this road trip before the season, or early stages, and like, even if the Knicks are good, it could fall apart there because these are teams that are better. But they're not. The Knicks have shown you they're better than Memphis. You know, beating Houston is not all that impressive at this point, but you did it the way you needed to do it. You did it so handily that you didn't have to play guys 40, 42 minutes, and the next night you had some fresh bodies, and you go out there and you hammer Memphis. I mean, you shot well again. Alec Burks comes back into the lineup. I mean, things are happening. And, you know, I don't know what LeBron's situation is going to be when the Knicks play the Lakers. And, yeah, the other games are certainly daunting, but you know what? They're going to compete. I know that. And right now, I'm all locked in on the fourth seed. I'm not thinking five. I'm not thinking six. I'm not thinking about a play-in tournament. I don't have to have LeBron James get angry that that's going to happen. I'm thinking Knicks is the fourth seed, and I'm thrilled about it. I can't believe that we're here.
Yeah, but let's be honest. I mean, when we're sitting here looking at the second half of the season, and we, you know, kept going back to, you know, what would happen on this West Coast trip, this New York Knicks team now wasn't the same New York Knicks team we saw in the first half of the season. It wasn't.
Not even close. But if I would have said to you 2 weeks ago, this road trip, you'd have said, I'm terrified of this thing. This thing could go sideways. And, I mean, look, they could still go 2-3, But I don't know. I put money on that they're going to win another game on this trip. They're just playing at that level right now.
They've won 12 of their last 13. And when they shoot the way that they've been able to shoot, I mean, you're talking about a team who, I mean, from three, R.J. Barrett was terrible. Julius Randle has in his career been, he's been brutal from three. You're talking about a team that's worked their way up to, they're fourth in the NBA right now from three. Their three-point percentage is fourth overall in the NBA. And when you take that and you mix it with the kind of defense that they play, and you saw them frustrate the hell out of John Morant yesterday. Frustrate the hell out of him because they play tough, they play physical. Alfred Payton was in his pocket. I mean, this is, they're turning themselves into a good team. This isn't just like, oh, they all of a sudden caught lightning in a bottle, and this is just, you know, this crazy run that they're on. No, they're I mean, they've turned themselves into a really good basketball team. Where guys have stepped up. I mean, they talk about Derrick Rose. It's good to get Alec Burks back.
Yep.
You saw, I mean, they scored 44 points in the second quarter. I mean, you got Burks, you got Rose, you got
Gibson
quickly.
Last night, by the way.
I know it's foul
outstanding,
trouble.
Outstanding, Dave.
I mean,
outstanding.
What? And then he gets into trouble, and then they bring in a guy that 2 weeks ago you never heard of in your life, Norvell Peel? Or Pell, or whatever
Pell,
his name
yes.
is?
Pell.
Yeah, it's Pell.
Pell? I mean, what? Mm-hmm. What a job. I mean, this is without your starting center. This is without your backup center. So now you're on the road with your third string center, and you give that third and a guy that you signed 10 days ago? I mean, come on. How do we not discuss Tom Thibodeau as coach of the year right now?
No, oh, he's in the conversation. Right, yeah, we've been talking about it all the time. He's in the conversation. I just think the other teams, the other coaches that are under consideration because they have the record that they do will probably get the nod. I mean, you look at what Utah has done with Quinn Snyder and then Monty Williams in Phoenix. You'll probably point to one of those coaches because they're at the top of the Western Conference, and we all admit that's the more competitive conference. But, I mean, the turnaround that the Knicks have been able to pull off in year one of Tibbs' tenure, I mean, it's – Dave, we said it coming into the year. The over-under in Vegas in terms of win total was 22.5, and this Knicks team has 37 wins with 7 games to go, secured their first winning season since 2012-2013. Like, this is something that's really special. But, you know, it comes back to something that Rick and I talk about all the time, which is the most important thing that has to happen when you're trying to get a program turned around is changing the culture. More so than talent or anything else that you do, you have to get the players to buy into the program that you're trying to build. And it's clear that the guys in that Knicks locker room have bought into what Tibbs is selling. And we all know that Tibbs is a basketball lifer. He knows how to coach this game. Like, they have a plan on how this team can be successful. They've got a formula, and we're starting to see them fine-tune that formula in the second half of the season. And it's getting to the point now, when you get into these close games, where Knicks fans have all the confidence in the world that they're going to find a way to make enough plays to be able to pull off a win.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a team, and you don't, I mean, very rarely do you see this. And, you know, Chris brings up a good point. When your team isn't overly talented, how important it is to have a coach like Thibs. And to create the kind of culture that Thibs has created here that's all based upon, you know, their defense and hard work. Because defense doesn't go into slumps.
No.
Like, defense will show up and give you a chance. Well, yeah, because, I mean, to start the game off, I mean, offensively, they were bad to start the game off.
Awful.
They were awful. But, I mean, again, you look at what they've done defensively. I mean, they lead the NBA right now in field goal percentage. They lead the NBA in three-point percentage. And now, like I just mentioned, they're fourth in three-point percentage for themselves. I mean, that's a pretty damn good mix, and it seems like the further along in the season we're getting, like, I mean, how many times have we sat here when they would lose games? Like, they have no answer for this trap. All this team is doing is trapping them.
Yep.
No answer. It seems like now all of a sudden they have answers for all this.
Every single night. So here's their remaining schedule: at Denver, at Phoenix, two daunting games. At the Clippers, listen, you look at it, you say it's daunting, but I don't know what the Clippers are going to be. Who they're going to play in that game? Is Kawhi going to play? Is Paul George going to play? At the Lakers. Same thing with that. And then you're home for three games, San Antonio, Charlotte, and Boston. So I got to think, I mean, if you go 3-4 over the final seven, or I mean, if you go 4-3, it's hard to imagine they're not going to get the four seed right now. And why would you look at this and say they can't go 4-3 over the final seven games?
Listen, Dave, I think it's possible. I mean, the thing that I've been looking at is making sure that the Knicks are, you know, 4 of the 5 seed, and they're one game in front of Atlanta now, but they're 2 games clear of Boston. I mean, 3 games clear of Boston and 2 games clear of Miami. So, I mean, they're in a pretty good spot right now with 7 games to go. Like, I feel like they have a chance to be in a first-round series where they have a matchup that we would look at and say, yeah, I would expect the Knicks to compete in that series. It goes 7 games, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks come out on the winning end of that series. Like, that's where we're at right now. Like, that's how I feel. As long as they don't have to play the Miami Heat, yeah, I would feel good about the Knicks being in a real playoff series against the Hawks or against the Boston Celtics. Like, I wouldn't be afraid of those teams just because of how this Knicks team plays. They're always going to be consistent in terms of the effort that they give and how they play on the defensive end. And with the way that they're knocking down their perimeter shots and they're shooting from three, there's no reason why the Knicks can't find themselves in the second round of the playoffs. It's crazy to hear myself say that, but I think that's where we're at with this team right now. I really do.
I can't believe it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. Santiago's a bad guy. He's trying to throw fuel on the fire that you guys didn't know about the podcast. First his tweet, now this song. He says, clearly there is treachery afoot. At H
the deception, the betrayal, man. You deceived me.
Bad guy. At H Dumpty 39 is right to be upset. Why are you trying to do this, Santiago?
I'm not trying to do anything. You were clearly hiding
not
things
hiding
here.
Hiding anything.
I didn't know anything about this until Rick brought it up on air.
No, I didn't
then
either.
I see
what
these
do you mean
tweets.
You didn't know until you brought it up on air? How'd you bring it up on air then?
Well, no, I brought it up in the air. I mean, the fact is that Santi didn't know. RJ didn't know. The only reason I know is because somebody tweeted at me. Like, Canty and I would have never known until all of a sudden we're, you know, flipping through Twitter and we see, oh, Dave's new Untucked podcast.
All of a sudden we've got this whole Dave Rothenberg podcast network and it's like, hey, when are you going to tell us about
podcast
this?
Podcast network? Well, it's not a network. Now, I would like
Rothenberg
to
Untucked. As if you like, oh, do you normally tuck your shirts in and then like that's the sign that you're gonna
really
let
loose? I mean, on the podcast, we're going to really let loose here. That's what we're saying. Now, I would like to, before anybody gets offended or anything like that, and I'm sure you'll say no, Rick, because this is the kind of guy you are, I'd like to have each of you separately on the podcast at some point in the coming weeks.
I'm good.
Wow.
Why would you not join the show? Why?
Because I wasn't made a part of the whole process. I wasn't brought in and said, hey Rick, you know what I'm thinking about doing this podcast. I mean, the least you could have done, I mean, you get this whole like you're the new Colin Coward, you get your own podcast network. Like maybe give Canty and I a show on the podcast network.
First of all, there's no podcast network. Second of all, would you like to do it? There's no way that you want to do a podcast.
Me and Canty could do it. We call it the champs. Me, Super Bowl champ. I got the hockey titles.
And men's league.
Men's league baseball titles.
Every time I mention anything, I actually mentioned to you months ago, I said, this guy who's running the podcast for me and the YouTube video channel for Aminu Muhammad, baby. I said to you, he wants to do like a podcast with your mom and your aunt. Do you remember that? And you're like, and you just flippantly like pushed it to the side. Do you remember that?
That doesn't seem less appealing to you? Hey, you want to do a podcast with your mom and your aunt?
No,
not really.
You remember when you were talking about them, how entertaining and terrific they are? And he heard that. He's like, you know, we should do that. I threw it your way, and you could not have been less interested.
No, see, I didn't say this should be a podcast. I said my mother, my grandmother, in my aunt in the same house.
Not aunt.
And I would even throw my cousin in the mix. In the
not
same house.
Aunt. It's
a reality
aunt.
Show.
It's your aunt.
No, it's my aunt.
It's not your
same,
aunt.
Same house, reality show. It
all
would
right,
be
well,
crazy.
I don't think we're there yet, so why don't we start with the baby steps and give them a podcast, and you were just like, no. Like, you couldn't have dismissed it any quicker.
Well, I don't think it would be as good. Like, I'm not going to set myself up to fail. I'll just put it this way. If you had those four in the same house, like what you saw on the Chappelle show when they did the Real World,
mm-hmm.
Like I slept with Katie too, like that, I'm telling you right now, it would be that kind of, that level of craziness.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think the world is ready for all of that.
But they couldn't handle it.
But I see what Rothenberg did. Rothenberg threw out a feeler. You didn't bite on it, so he kind of proceeded with caution and just, you know, he didn't tell you about
it. It's not that he didn't bite on it. He dismissed it. It's not like he was like, you know, it's a great idea, but he's like, didn't even respond. I was like, all right, clearly podcast world is something that he's not interested in, but I'm inviting you onto the podcast. I don't know why that's not something you would want to do. We'll zoom you right in. We'll get you looking beautiful. There's a green screen involved with this. Yeah. I mean, this serious stuff.
This is a big-time production. I just don't understand. Like, you have all these means to, like, you have someone paying for your hockey show. Now you get someone, like, running your YouTube channel. I mean, I don't know how, you know, why it would make sense to kind of incorporate that into our show. Like, maybe DCR should have its own YouTube channel. so people could see us while we're doing the show.
But that shouldn't be up to Rothenberg,
isn't
to be, right?
ESPN.
Oh, he's got the means. Well, he's got the... No, come on. Come on now. I mean, you're asking a ridiculous question.
What do you mean, come on, come on now? That's not something that ESPN should take a stranglehold with?
I think you need to lower your expectations.
Wow.
Oh, come on.
So, Ricky, let me ask you this. Which one bothers you more, the fact that you weren't consulted and included on the weekend hockey show?
Oh, it's got to be
that. Or that you're not a part of the podcast?
If it's not the hockey show, then we have real problems.
Well, here's the thing, though, Dave. Like, he's on the show with you every single day. So it's just like, this is something that you're doing personally, and to not kind of rope him in on it, I'm just saying, I could see a world in which he would feel more of a way about you not including him on Untucked than the hockey show. I'm just saying.
No, no, we got
a double, a triple.
So there's more developments to this.
Oh my goodness!
So I decided to actually click on the tweet there that led us to this discovery, and it's a nice little promo for this Rothy podcast, right? It's nothing but drops from these airwaves, from this show, from this program.
So who's producing this, John? Is that what's happening right now?
Listen to this.
Oh, God. I'm a big star, you know. I have so much knowledge.
Just realize now, I'll be watching you all the time.
I want a championship!
I used to write letters all the time to the Giants.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
You don't respect me?
I'm crazy! He's terrible!
Would you go to therapy with me?
Sounds like intellectual property's being stolen here.
You're all bad guys.
Who's producing the show? Who's producing your show? Skrillex? What kind of music are we doing right now?
If I do well with the podcast, if attention is drawn to that, isn't that only good for our show of DCR?
As long as you're pushing to the show. Are you pushing to the show?
No, he's not pushing to the show. He's pushing to his podcast.
You want me to? I didn't bring you this up. I didn't say anything. In fact, I wasn't going to because I thought it might be disrespectful to you guys, but forget about that. All bets are off now.
You know who you are? I'll tell you exactly who you are. You're the guy that gets caught by his wife on his cell phone having like a text message exchange with someone and not to her. And then, we didn't do anything. It was nothing physical, but you've had this whole emotional relationship going on right now. Like, you got this whole secret life going on that you don't even tell us
secret
about.
Life? You are. And the worst thing about you. I mean, you really are the depths of humanity. The worst thing about it is, if I would have said to you, hey, Rick, do you want any involvement in the podcast which I'm launching? You would have said, absolutely not. If you would have been asked, do you want a hockey show? Do you want to be involved in a Rothenberg's hockey show? Absolutely not. You know what you are? You're the 14-year-old girl in junior high. You only want to be asked to go to the party. That's all. Hey, Katie, would you go to the party? No. I don't want to go to the party. But if you're not asked, now this is what happens. You are one step away from like a supervillain. That's what you are, my friend.
Yeah, but you saw me as a woman. I'm smoking hot. They'd ask me.
You are. You're
on
a chair. They would ask me. You're not as hot as I am as a woman, but you are a very lovely looking woman.
No, I don't want to be asked to do it. You're misconstruing what I'm saying. I don't want to be asked to do it. I don't need more work. I'm coaching 15 different teams. I don't need more work. Just like I'm going to do a podcast with a YouTube channel.
So you just want a heads up. You want
also, Canty and I can get behind it. I mean, it's a perfect time to bring it up. I mean, it's good. Anything that you do that's good is good for us. Like, the better your podcast is, the better your YouTube channel is, the better our radio show will be.
You want to keep it as a
dirty little secret.
It's not a dirty little secret.
Well, then why keep it a secret then?
Maybe we discussed today. Honestly, and this is sincere, I didn't want for you guys to be forced to talk about it. I didn't. And I thought, you know what? If you want to talk about it, we will. And if you don't, we won't. So I didn't want to be the guy that brought it to your attention on the air and took time away from our show. That was my honest, true belief.
Well, Rothenberg, I'm going to tell you this. I believe you're telling the truth, and I would be honored to be a guest on your new podcast, Untucked.
Thank you. Yeah. And this is a friend, and this is a teammate. And DiPietro, I'd love to have you on, Chris. You claim, right? Locker room and the importance of that, and you're a locker room guy. Well, when does that start? Was that only when you were playing in the NHL, or is that something that you bring to the table now as a radio show co-host? You tell me. You tell us. The world is listening at this moment.
Well, there's no secrets in a locker room. Like, if I'm planning something... Like, I'm going to plan it for my teammates. I'm not going to plan something for myself, first of all. Like, everyone's going to be included. Like, I'm not going to, like, all of a sudden now I show up at this unbelievable party, and the guy's like, well, hey, I mean, you didn't want to invite us to the party? No, I didn't think you guys wanted to be bothered.
I just invited you to the party.
And now, eventually, because we just found out.
No, I was going to ask you to come on. Of course I was going to ask you to come on.
Hey, do you
like
want to
do a party?
Do you want to do a podcast with your mom? Oh, yeah, please. That's exactly what I want to do.
You're the one that spent 15 minutes one day during the pandemic telling us, you know what would be an unbelievable reality show is if you get my grandmother and my mother. Well, you know what? We're not at the point where we have the means to put together a full television production crew. But the thought was, let's start out with a podcast of these people. We'll turn their mics on. We'll let them talk. I mentioned it, and you could not have been less interested.
Did I mention at any point during this 15-minute segment talking about, you know, Mickey Rourke and her mom and everything else, my grandmother, that I wanted to be in the same house during the reality show?
I didn't ask you to be on it.
Oh, so the podcast was just going to be my mother and my grandmother?
Yeah.
And my aunt.
Yeah, that's right. Not your aunt. She's your aunt.
It's my mom and my aunt.
Not your aunt.
Ask Dave Gettleman how he says aunt.
I don't care how Dave Gettleman says aunt. I can't even believe. I should know better. I should know that. If I would have mentioned it, you know what I would have gotten, Chris? How dare you do a podcast? How dare you take away from our show and do a podcast? There's no winning with you. You're impossible.
I'm sitting here spending time writing songs for the show, and you're off gallivanting doing another podcast and a YouTube channel.
Oh, boy.
You are one you big guys. Baby. You really are. I'm a baby.
Can we hear from
Derrick Rose, or is that not okay?
I don't know. Why don't you save it for your podcast?
Maybe I will. You know what? Maybe I will.
I'm sure you'll play the sound on your podcast whenever you record that.
There's such disdain. Your podcast. You're so bothered by it. Everything bothers you. You really are the biggest baby I've ever met. Here's Derrick Rose on winning 12 of 13.
You know, it's super cool, man, just to be on a winning team. It could have been a lot different. As long as the record, we got more wins than losers, I'm cool with it. And especially with the record that you put out, it's showing that we're doing something quite unique here.
There's something really fun and really special and really unique going on right now with the Knicks. And there's no two ways about it. And I think not only has New York taken notice, guys, but the entire NBA has taken notice of what's going on with these Knicks right now.
How could you not? They're the hottest team in basketball right now. Man, they've won 12 of the last 13. You know what's fun? Is winning.
Yep.
Is winning. And especially, like, on top of the fact that when you love showing up to the locker room because you enjoy your teammates, like how important that is. I mean, you can see it on the sidelines how they react to each other. Like, this team is having a blast right now. And they show up. I mean, guys, everyone's contributing. And when they need, I mean, last night was a good example. When they needed someone to step up, last night it was Derrick Rose that stepped up. Julius Randle, you know, hits a big three. Like, they have, and I'm telling you, you don't normally see this. Like, you don't normally during the course of a season, like, see a team in, like, slowly improve the way the Knicks have improved. It's like they just keep getting better and better. It's like, oh, you know, this has been fun, but this can't continue.
And it just keeps continuing. It's rolling. A great point. I really cannot believe with 7 games left in the season that we are sitting here.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
So RJ is recapping what we got into a few weeks ago, and he's kind of running through different topics. And, you know, Jordan Renan joined us, and Rich Cimini was on, and they've got two dogs, and, you know, Chris is engagement stuff. And then he says, Is urine sterile enough to drink? Was one of the big topics we got into. So I mean, my God, some of the stuff that we talk about really is mind numbing, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think we came to the conclusion that it is.
Yeah, but I can't drink it. Maybe so, but unless I'm parched to the point that I feel like I'm getting lightheaded, I'm not drinking urine.
Maybe try it one time, see what you think.
Uh-oh. How much would you pay me to drink a cup of urine?
Ooh. I would pay you more if we were on TV. If the show was simulcast and we were on TV, I would quite a bit.
Like what are we talking?
Throw a number at me.
$5,000?
Yeah.
I think I would do it.
Dave, I'd give you the $5,000 just so you don't do it, because I don't want to see you go out like that. you don't bounce back from that, man. I don't want to see my partner go out like that.
Really? So
no.
You would pay me $5,000 to not drink urine?
Yes.
Oh, I would definitely do that.
Yes.
RJ, I got to think you're slugging a big jug of urine for $5,000, no?
I mean, I could use the $5,000, but I don't think I could do it.
Thank you, RJ. Thank you.
I'm with Chris. That might be night-night.
Would you attempt it? Would you try to drink
no,
the urine?
No, I don't think I would. I don't think I would. And believe me, I could use $5,000. I just don't think I could do it.
Santi, I mean, you're a man that'll work all hours.
It's not happening.
Lots of things.
It's five not grand. Happening. Not for five
Cash.
Grand. Nope.
$7,500.
Nope.
$10,000.
Nope.
$15,000.
Nope.
$30,000.
No.
Stop it. $50,000.
I'm not doing it.
$100,000.
I'm not doing it. You're
$1 million.
One money can't buy, Dave.
Oh, I would double fist for $1 million. I'd be juggling cases
of
urine.
Oh my gosh.
$1 million?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, for $1 million, I'd like to re-enter the conversation.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely. Drink it all.
$5,000. When we eventually get simulcast.
Uh-huh.
You can drink your own. I'll let you drink your own.
Well, yeah, I'm not drinking somebody else's.
Well, you could drink mine.
No. No. Oh, God.
Have some asparagus?
No, I wouldn't. I don't know if yours I would down for 500,000. I would try, but I don't know that I could.
Yeah, but think all the nutrients. How healthy I eat.
Yeah, but I could take a vitamin.
This is better. It's going right in your face, right in your mouth.
Yeah, I don't
right
see
to the bloodstream.
Better. I don't see in any
this
regard.
This is really uncomfortable conversation. Really.
How about we do a tasting? We'll do a blind tasting. You tell us whose urine it is. Is it mine, Chris, Ray's, or RJ's?
I mean, in theory, it sounds phenomenal. I'd be like a
how
wine
would you
taster,
even?
Like, oh yes, there's a hint of banana in this. Right? This is the Northern California region.
We brought in our sommelier of urine.
Yeah. Oh my God.
This tastes
like
an Italian.
Do I like whisk it around? Do I put it in my mouth and swish it around? Then spit it out? Well, it's a fruity.
See, I made that mistake when we went wine tasting. I didn't like I was doing all the tastings, but I wasn't spitting the wine out.
You were bent at the end of that one.
Dude, Chris, I showed up home and I started getting like shipments of wine. I was like, Cass, where did all this wine come from? She's like, you don't remember? You were joining all these wine clubs when you were all banged up.
Of course. They take advantage of you.
Yes.
Would you like to join? I'd love to join. I'd love to. I love your wines. They're fruity.
I had Cassie's dad tap out on me. We were at a wine tasting, like one of our, like probably our, it was ended up being our last one because he tapped out. And we were in, it wasn't Napa. We were in
Sonoma.
No, it wasn't Sonoma. I remember what it was. But they were known. The area we were in was known for their Pinot Noirs, and he doesn't really like Pinot Noirs. So every place that we went to, they kept bringing out Pinot Noirs. And I kept making them drink them. And then finally, the last one we went to, and then at this time, we were just, I mean, we were bombed. We had to drive everything else. So it was great. And he's like, the lady starts pouring them. And we did the first one. Then we did the second one. And she's like, okay, for this third one. And he looked at it and he goes, if this is another Pinot Noir, I'm bleeping out of here. She goes, as a matter of fact, and he walked right out. He just left.
He must have been hammered. All right, Eric and Brick, let's see what Eric brings to the table. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. You're bringing back great memories to when I took a unintentional swig of my own finest urine.
Oh, why? Why would you have done this?
Well, so in between innings, when I was in college, I ran into our locker room real quick. There was no bathroom in there, so I took a Gatorade bottle. It was fruit punch, and you know, with the sport top, opened it up, loaded it up, put it back in the locker, ran back out, and the next like day or two, I had practice, and I came in there. I was like, oh man, I'm so thirsty, and I see a Gatorade bottle up there, and I didn't remember what I put in it.
A couple of days later.
So it was like a rancid version of the urine.
It was like fermented urine. It wasn't even like that stuff.
It was like moonshine.
And, look at what has happened.
Yeah, I wish I would have put some fruit in the bottom to make it a little more tasty, because once it hit my lips, I knew it instantaneously what it was, and that felt like patches of O'Houlihan.
Put some fruit in there. They get a mangria.
Oh God.
Dave, we had one guy on one of our plane trips. So it was a West Coast trip. And we had a bunch of guys on our team really couldn't sleep well. And we just had played the game. So they were going to, you know, take a sleeping aid so they could sleep during the flight. So when they, you know what I mean? So you're not as jet lag, whatever. They just fall asleep. So we had one of the guys. And he ended up getting the last Ambien. Like, we were all looking for Ambien. He got the last one. So, like, just after we take off, he looks at us with a big smile on his face, picks up the Ambien, plops it in his mouth like, ha ha, suckers, I got the last Ambien, and reaches over to take a swig of his water to drink, to swallow it. It was chew spit.
I think that might be worse than his own.
Right out. Gone. Ambien gone.
Was it his own chew spit?
No, it wasn't his. It was his, the guy sitting next to his chew spit.
I think that's worse than urine. I think if you gave me the option of someone else's chew spit or a cup of my own urine, I would choose urine every time.
Yeah, I don't like the choices, but I would.
Those are two bad choices.
If
those are your only choices, you're in a bad way.
Very, very bad way. Oh, yeah. I don't know how we got into this conversation. Anyhow.
Brought it up.
Brought it up that RJ said that was a topic that we got into the week of April the 8th, I guess. I didn't realize that it would lead to this conversation, though.
I think it was a good conversation.
It was entertaining.
Very uncomfortable.
Else.
Very uncomfortable.
I can imagine drinking. It's been sitting in your locker for days.
Ugh.
And it's
how could
punch.
You not smell that, though? That's the other thing, though.
Yeah, exactly. You open that up.
But
yeah.
Just remember that you're the one that used the bottle to deposit?
But it's not even lemon lime. He said it was fruit punch.
Yeah.
Like, how dehydrated are you? Like, what color is... I mean, I could understand if it was lemon lime.
But yeah, who's drinking hot Gatorade anyway? Who does that, too?
Like, well, I mean, they don't have a bathroom in the locker room. Right? I don't know if they... I mean, it doesn't seem like they have great options.
A warm cup of Gatorade. That is phenomenal. Ugh. All right, let's get to the Mets. I mean, last night was a horrendous loss. Couple things. They lose 6-5. They lead 5-2. It looks like Arenado strikes out. They call it a foul tip into the dirt. I think two pitches later, he deposits a 3-run homer. Couple of doubles later, they trail 6-5. They can't score another run. Then they fire the hitting coach and the assistant hitting coach after the game. Lindor stinks yet again. Why is Lucchese starting? There's so many things that bother me about this game last night. We'll start with the actual game, Rick. That's a terrible loss for the Mets.
Yeah, it's a tough loss. I mean, you brought it up. I mean, they end up, you know, they take the 5-2 lead. And then from that point on, I mean, they had three hits for the rest of the game. And Lindor has, you know, the bases loaded in the second. He strikes out.
Meekly.
Dave, he hasn't had a hit in his last 25 plate appearances.
No, he looks completely lost.
He looks completely lost. I'm not even sure still. I mean, I don't know how many times I've watched the replay if Arenado actually even made contact with what should have been strike three. I still can't see the foul tip. I can't see it. And, of course, you knew the second that happened going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
What, that Arenado was
going to
go
yard.
You knew. Because I think he hit a long fly ball in the next pitch, and then he deposits a
foul,
three-run home run.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
you know what?
An off-speed pitch, he pulled the foul.
Why are you pitching Lucchese? And think about, to make matters worse, the bullpen was phenomenal. You didn't allow another run after he leaves the game. There's no better. Yamamoto, the kid that's down there in AAA, who we've seen pitch with the Marlins, you have no better option than Lucchese.
But why is he still in the game at that point?
That's the point. Like, after he allows the Arenado home run, they should have pulled him out of the game. I don't know what Rojas was waiting on. I don't know what he was thinking about. Because, I mean, you're talking about a tied game at that point, and you guys already mentioned it. I mean, the bullpen pitched another 5 1/3 and didn't allow a run. So, I mean, at worst, you're talking about the game going into extras, then you take your chances, you see what happens. But, I mean, to give the game away by allowing three consecutive extra base hits, to me, that's egregious. You can't let that happen. The minute Arenado goes yard on that one, like, you pull him out of the game and you get somebody else up for the next at-bat. Like, there's no way that Lucchese should have been in there to give away those next two doubles. No way.
Someone was already up. I mean, as soon as DeJong hits the double, then you're out. I'm going left on right again with O'Neill, who hits another double. I'll tell you why he did it, is because he was trying to sneak Lucchese through the third so he could pinch hit for the pitcher the next inning.
Yeah, you're right, Rico, but I don't give a damn about the logic. It was the wrong decision.
Of course.
Because of how it played out. It was clearly the wrong decision.
But they have nothing better. This guy, he's terrible. We've seen it for start after start now. We're a full month into the season. You never feel comfortable up 5-2. He let it get away. He has two outs in the third. He can't get out of the inning. This guy is unpitchable now. You have nothing better?
I guess not, Dave, but to make matters worse, I mean, you couldn't have scripted that game any better in terms of how the first couple of innings started for the Mets. I mean, the way that they created traffic in the second and third inning, I mean, it's almost as if the cards were gifting them a lead when you saw that they intentionally walked VR to get the Nito, and then you have the hit-by-pitch that scores a run. Like, they were trying to give you the game, and then you turned around in the bottom of the third and gave it right back to them. Like, that's got to be the most frustrating part if you're a Mets fan. Like, I don't understand that.
I mean, there's a long list of things that are frustrating right now with the Mets. I mean, hitting right at the top of the
list. Oh, yeah, Lindor, man. Again, it's just how – I mean, at the end of that second inning, that's awful, man.
Like, yeah, horrendous.
You got to be better.
I mean, I would have preferred DeGrom up in that at-bat. I mean, he looks so lost. He's throwing the slow breaking balls. They showed it in slow motion. He's nowhere near making contact. I think he's 0 for 21, right? He hasn't reached base in 25 plate appearances. It's 23 games into the season now. Now, I still think that at the end of the day, he's going to be fine because he's that talented of a player, but you couldn't have scripted a worse start for Lindor with the Mets.
No, you couldn't. I mean, offensively, you couldn't. And right now, I mean, it's this team right now, and this is why I guess they, to try to spark the offense, or, I mean, they're talking about, you know, different kind of approaches is why they fired, you know, Chili Davis and decided to go with the change there. But, I mean, runners in scoring position, they're 29th in Major League Baseball. Runs, they're 30th. I mean, slugging percentage, they're 26th. I mean, they don't – and I know people – I know the league is – Major League Baseball in general has struggled offensively. I get it. I understand that. But, I mean, this lineup is too good to be as bad as they are right now. It's too good. And Francisco Lindor is too good to look the way he looks the plate. It's not even that he's not hitting. The way he looks the plate, no, is what's the most concerning.
Are hideous.
Yeah, he doesn't. I mean, he looks like he doesn't know what he's doing now. And I get it. I mean, $341 million, the pressure. It's a new team. It's New York. It's a new league. Like, I understand all that. But at some point, something has to.
It's got
to
give. Really, for his sake, I really, really hope that he gets going a little bit before they come back home.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hope. I mean, we'll see if Diesel Donnie can straighten this thing out. I mean, they did score 5 runs.
Yeah.
I mean, you did score the 5 runs and a couple. I mean, obviously, you get hit by the pitch and you walk and run home, but we'll take them. We'll take the runs where we can get them.
Sure.
We're not having an easy time scoring runs.
Awful.
And the bullpen was great again. You're right.
That's the thing that makes it so frustrating. You start this guy who's so bad, and the bullpen comes in, and they're so good.
Yeah, I don't know why you left him in at that point.
It's a head-scratching decision. All right, I don't know that this is officially CMT in the rule books, but it's what we consider to be CMT.
Two cuddles.
Tell you what, Rico, I can chase him down. I'll hold him down for you.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
Ah, yes. A pleasant Tuesday to all of you. So, Rick, you just threw some numbers out there about the Mets. We'll start there. About Chili Davis and assistant hitting coach Tom Slater being fired after last night's loss. So you gave a couple of the bad numbers, and I know they don't pass the eye test, but I'll give the other side. Obviously, the Mets have struggled badly with runners in scoring position. We know that. But they're 10th in baseball in batting average. They're 5th in OBP. You mentioned the poor slugging numbers. But I'll ask you this. Cuddle, marry, or trash firing Chili Davis right now as the right move for the Mets?
I mean, I'll have to marry it. I don't know what else you could do. I mean, it's not like you can all of a sudden start, you know, taking guys out of the lineup and adding guys to your lineup. I mean, this is, at this point, you're just looking for something different, I guess, to try to get this thing back on track. I mean, again, RJ, you bring up the batting average and everything else. Offensively, last year, they were one of the best teams in baseball in a bunch of different categories, except for the same category that we're seeing them struggle with right now, which was runners in scoring position. It's more of the same of what we saw last year. Are you guys going to participate or what?
Well, I'm waiting on Dave.
Well, we'd go next, but I'll go next. That's fine. I'll marry it as well. I mean, you know what is also really bothersome to me is the GM, Zach Scott, says the decision was not based on these 23 games worth of production. Rather, the Mets needed coaches that understand, quote, the process under the hood. So you're telling me if the Mets were leading the league in runs and on base and average that they would have made these same decisions? What an obscene statement to make. So, listen, you know, you got to make changes. You can't fire the players, as the old adage goes. I have no problems with this. I will marry it as well.
Yeah, I'm going to trash this move by the Mets. I just feel like if it's 23 games in and you're going to make this change, this is something that you've been thinking about the entire offseason. Why not do it then? Why ask him to show up to spring training and go through this only to fire him in 23 games, which we all know in baseball is such a small sample size? Like, I don't agree with it. I'm not on board with it. I get where Zach Scott is coming from and talking about the process, but it's not like you weren't familiar with Chili Davis and his philosophy because they spent time together in the Red Sox organization. So the explanation that Zach Scott gave didn't pass the smell test to me based on the timing of the move. I just felt like if you're willing to fire a guy in 23 games, the first 23 games of the season, he probably shouldn't have been your hitting coach at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, one thing to note, through the first month of the season, I saw this from Jeff Passan, Across baseball, the batting average for all players, all teams, 232. It's the lowest month since 1968, which many know that was the year the mound was lowered. So that's kind of where baseball's at right now. You guys touched on the Knicks earlier. 10-year anniversary of Derrick Rose winning the MVP. Last night he was asked after the game, a big game from him, if he was aware that it had been 10 years already.
Yeah, I think my girl mentioned it to me like earlier. Like she said, she like posted some stuff, but I mean, it's crazy. I mean, the story is crazy, but I'm just happy to still be here and playing decent basketball. So I'm very appreciative, and that's dope.
That is dope. Playing better than decent basketball. So from a guy that won MVP to a guy that won't win it, but cuddle, marry, or trash Julius Randle as a top five MVP candidate.
I'm going to marry the hell out of it. I'm going to get it pregnant. No prenup.
Oh, that is a hell of a
commitment. No prenup. That's how good I feel about this. None.
Wow. I couldn't agree more. I will marry that. Top five, he is absolutely worthy of top five. Speaking of anniversaries, 10 years since Derrick Rose won the MVP. Yesterday was 35 years since my bar mitzvah, May 3rd of 1986. So.
Oh, congratulations, Dave.
Thank you very much.
Congrats, Dave.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's going to be unanimous with Julius Randle as an MVP candidate, top five guy. Yeah, I'm going to marry that as well.
Way to make it about you, Dave.
I was adding in a lighthearted, fun story. They're the guys that wanted more. They want to know everything going on.
Why didn't you? Well, you should have invited them.
You know what? I don't like the way we run CMT now. Anyway, I'll leave it to the two of them.
All right. Joe Judge was a guest yesterday on the K Show, and he talked about a lot of us not knowing how truly injured Daniel Jones really was.
Look, Daniel's the last guy that's going to use anything as an excuse. What I would say about the injury last year is, look, it was much more serious than maybe, you know, people thought on the outside. And I would say this, I'd say probably 90% of the players in the league who would have had that injury, including quarterbacks, would have been on IR for the remainder of the year. That's just the reality of it. It was much more severe than, you know, maybe he allowed people to know or the information that was put out there. And we're going to protect our players by not disclosing everything about their injuries, to be honest with you.
All right, so the question's not about the injury, but I'll ask you this. If we can bring that into account, maybe he was maybe a lot more beat up than we thought he was. I will ask you right now, cuddle, marry, or trash, 1 year from right now, Daniel Jones, are we still talking about him as the Giants' starting quarterback?
I'm going to cuddle it, RJ. And I thought what Joe Judge said about Daniel Jones yesterday was a continuation of what the organization has done all offseason, which is support their quarterback. Like, this is going to be a huge year for Daniel Jones, and they're putting all the pieces in place from a personnel standpoint, but I think they're also all saying the right things, coming out and publicly showing that they believe in Daniel Jones because, I mean, confidence is going to be important in terms of him going out there and being the kind of quarterback that's going to live up to Dave Gettleman drafting that guy with the 6th overall pick 2-3 years ago. So, I mean, this is a situation where I just felt like Joe Judge volunteered that information just so people could understand, you know, some of the intangibles that come along with Daniel Jones, how tough he is, and how committed he is to his team. So I just felt like that's another one of those things. But I think all the pieces are in place for Daniel Jones to be a successful quarterback. That's why I'm going to cuddle it.
Chris said everything that there is to be said. I will also cuddle.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you.
You know what the one thing I take away from what Joe Judge said? If that's the case, if 90% of quarterbacks or players wouldn't have played with that
kind of
injury,
I don't think they knew how bad it was.
Yeah, but even if that was the case, you saw with your own eyes, you saw the way he reacted and how he looked. Mm-hmm. Why are you playing him against
Arizona?
Why?
Yeah, that was the game.
Like, give him at least one more week. It's not going to hurt. It's only going to help. As bad as it was, another week off would only have helped.
Only have helped him.
All right, got time for one more. So we know what's going on in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Matt LaFleur, head coach of the Packers. I know when you're fighting to keep someone, it's like when someone's trying to break up with you, you almost say anything. Here's what he had to say about Aaron Rodgers.
This guy is our quarterback, man, and he's our leader of our team, and I want nothing more than to see him back in a Packer uniform, and in my eyes, he's the greatest to ever do it.
I mean, he's in it right now, so I get why he would say that. I think we could agree Rodgers is not the greatest to ever do it. I mean, arm talent maybe. Different argument, right? But cuddle, marry, or trash Aaron Rodgers, when all is said and done, is a top three quarterback.
Ooh, I will.
Ooh, top three.
I'm going to cuddle it. And the reason why I'm going to cuddle it is I still think there is a chance. He's playing. I mean, he's the MVP. If he does, regardless of what happens, if he wins one more Super Bowl, he gets the two Super Bowls. I think that all of a sudden puts him in that really rarefied air kind of conversation.
Yep. Obviously, Brady goes down as one all time. I will cuddle this as well because I don't think the book is done on Aaron Rodgers. I think there's a good chance he gets another. And if he gets another, then I think he goes right into that conversation at top three. So I will cuddle it. Yes.
Yeah, it's unanimous. I am going to cuddle it as well. But I'm leaning toward an aggressive cuddle and we'll see where it goes. But Aaron Rodgers, I mean, from a physical talent standpoint, is arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. From a physical talent standpoint, in terms of what he can do, all the physical skills that he has at the position. Like Dave and Rick said, he's just missing that one championship. And, you know, I just feel like he might be having an opportunity with as high a level that he's playing at right now of being able to get one in the twilight of his career.
And there you have it. That is our version of CMT. To let you know, tomorrow at 6:45, Stump Rothenberg. Thursday at 6:45, Nobservations and DHIF. Did it happen in Florida? And Friday at 6:45, Getting to Know Your Co-host. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that I am now tied for first in Getting to Know Your Co-host. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, one of the greatest, no, the greatest round in the history of Get to Know Your Co-host.
The 7-for-7?
The run you want. I mean, you're on a Knicks type run now.
Yeah. And we play Getting to Know Chris, I think, right, on Friday?
Yeah, I was last week.
Yep. So that means that I can, if I win, if I beat you on Friday, Rick, I am all alone in first place.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. I feel confident.
That's what you say. I am on quite the run, though.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
A talk show host, a man that can drive the show. That, of course, is the great Mike Tenenbaum. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Good, Dave. Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing really well. So very excited by what the Giants did in the draft. More so even after rounds 2, 3, and 4 than I was after round 1. Do you agree? Do you love what the Giants did with the trades and the value they got in this draft?
Yeah, especially like Azeez Ojulari to me was the real difference. Like, if they had flip picks and they came out of this with a 1 and a 4 next year, I would have thought it was a great trade. And here's the interesting part that we'll have a lot of fun talking about all year, guys, is this. When the Miami Dolphins traded Laremy Tunsil to Houston, Houston was a really good team. And I'm sure they thought, hey, whatever we get, it's a lottery ticket. And, you know, things just fell apart in Houston and Miami was the beneficiary of that. And Chicago, look, they lost some really good players on defense. And, because of that, you just don't know where that pick's going to be. So I thought that was a really smart trade by Dave Gettleman, because if they put a rookie quarterback in there and that defense isn't as good, who knows? Like, maybe it's a top 10 pick. The point is, like, they've really positioned themselves very well for the future with that.
And Mike, just remind people that are tuning in right now, how important, like, I mean, you talk to a bunch of people around the league, like, how important, you know, a first-round pick in next year's draft is going to be as opposed to, you know, obviously this year with the pandemic and everything else?
Yeah, no, a great point, Rick. Everyone was saying that picks next year are just simply more valuable. You know, there was rumors about Owusu-Koramoah, the linebacker for Notre Dame, a great player. There were some last-minute questions about his medical, which, you know, candidly, I don't know to the details of. I think it got sorted out, but the point being is there was just uncertainty, and clubs want certainty, and not having the combine, not having the ability to meet face-to-face with players was very bothersome to clubs, understandably. So I think if someone said, I'd rather have more picks this year or next year, I think 100% of the teams would say, I'd rather have those picks next year.
Mike, yesterday Joe Judge was on with the Michael Kay Show, and he said that Kadarius Toney brought a skill set to the table that they really didn't have on the team right now. Can you speak a little bit about what Kadarius Toney brings to that table and then how you anticipate that impacting Daniel Jones in this Giants passing attack in 2021?
Yeah, Chris, I spent a week down in Mobile, got to see Kadarius up close. He's a Mobile, Alabama native. You know, for all the New York football fans out there, from a build standpoint, he really reminded me of Santana Moss. Very thick through his lower body. They moved him around, which speaks to his football intelligence. And I think the Giants have a really good receiver set when you think about, I'm a big Darius Slayton fan. They have Sterling Shepard, John Ross. Obviously, they gave Galladay a lot of money, but I think they'll get him the ball behind the line of scrimmage like they did at Florida. He's really dynamic with the ball in his hands. I think we'll see a lot of quote-unquote long handoffs from Daniel Jones. That'll help his completion percentage. So he is a playmaker. And again, you know, when I was on with you guys Friday morning, my concern was they didn't come out of this with a tackle or a pass rusher, but you know, they were able to do that in the second round. So I think Tony's a talented player. And again, like when you scout somebody and they ask him to do as many things as he did in Florida, you know, he's a really smart player as well.
Mike, do you have a pro comp for Kadarius Toney? Like, who's a guy that's currently in the NFL that reminds you of his skill set?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, like I said, like he physically, to me, he looked a little bit like Santana Moss. You know, I don't think he's Tyreek Hill. Like, I thought Jalen Waddle was close. So, but he is explosive with his ball in the hands. Like, you know, he looked a little bit, you know, Tavon Austin coming out, but obviously Austin's size got him. You know, Tony's a little bit bigger, so he's sort of a mesh of all those players. But again, like if I'm a Giant fan, like when you watch the tape, you see a guy that breaks a lot of tackles because he's strong. Like for somebody that's that fast, he's stronger than you think he is.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here on a Tuesday morning, 98.7 ESPN. Are you surprised, and if so, bothered that the Giants didn't take any offensive line in this draft?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, Matt Peart has to develop. I mean, that's the key guys. Like, Aaron Hernandez has to continue getting better, and obviously Andrew Thomas does too. You know, Nate Solder, to me, is now a one-year Band-Aid. You know, coming off of these opt-outs, you just don't know what guys are going to be like. You know, we used to hold our breath when players left the off-season program in late May, early June, and we didn't see him for 6 weeks. And now you're going to say, hey, I haven't seen this guy in, what, a year and a half, and we're going to just plug him in like nothing happened. That would scare me. So this is going to be about Matt Peart's development. This is going to be about Andrew Thomas's development. And if those guys develop and Solder's your swing tackle, great. If they don't, and you're – and again, we got to calibrate ourselves. Like, can Nate Solder play in 17 games? Like, I just don't know if we could say that right now.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here in the show. Mike, let's swing over to the Jets. Give me just first impressions of how you think the Joe Douglas and the Jets did in the draft.
Yeah, I thought, look, it was really solid. You know, I obviously, Zach Wilson, we'll see how that goes. But I do like Vera Tucker. I think you put him at left guard next to Mekhi Becton. And now you have, you know, a good, young, solidified part of your offensive line. And foundationally, that's really important. Elijah Moore, really good player. You could argue that maybe that wasn't the biggest need, considering they had added Corey Davis and Jamison Crowder was somebody that, you know, has been productive for them. And I really like Michael Carter from North Carolina. He's an explosive running back. If he can stay healthy, I thought that was a good value pick as well.
So, Mike, you mentioned all the other guys that they drafted in on the offensive side of the ball, but it's a 10-man draft class, and they had 6 draft picks on the defensive side of the ball. So give me your take on who the guy that you're going to be keeping an eye on to make an impact early on in their career in the NFL.
Yeah, ironically, it could be the other Carter. You know, he's smart. He's versatile. I think a couple of those DBs, candidly, Chris, have an opportunity to get on the field early. I mean, we're looking at the Jets. Their secondary is a whole bunch of question marks. So I think that's probably the best opportunity right now.
Mike Tannenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So give me some other teams that you look at around the league and you say, boy, they did really, really well in this past draft.
I think the Chargers and the Browns, you know, I think the Browns, I think what's been most impressive about them is if we were sitting here in January and we said, hey, Cleveland needs to fix their defense to get to where they want to go. And the verb I would use is they've attacked their defense. Josh Johnson, Troy Hill, they drafted Newsom. They were able to get Owusu-Koramoah in the second round. They signed Clowney to a one-year deal. They signed Kat McKinley, a former first-rounder. So if I'm a fan and I see a weakness of my team, I think Andrew Berry and that Cleveland Brown front office has done a masterful job of putting that team in a position to be successful. Likewise, very similar with the Chargers. Like, they have a great young quarterback in Justin Herbert. So they sign Matt Filer from Pittsburgh. They sign Corey Linsley from Green Bay. And then what do? They come back and they draft Rashawn Slater, maybe the best offensive lineman in this year's draft. that's how you protect a young quarterback. And I think both those teams did a really good job.
Mike, how much of Denver deciding to go with, you know, Pat Surtain had to do with the potential that maybe if things fall right for them, they could trade for Aaron Rodgers?
Well, if that was the case, they made a huge mistake, and here's why. Chicago trades up to the Giants at 11. So let's just assume for sake of this discussion that if we're the Chicago Bears, if we could give up the same package to get to 9 that it took to get to 11, then that's what Denver should have done. Because mm-hmm. now you have an extra first-round pick as draft capital to trade to go get Aaron Rodgers. And the fact that they didn't could come back and really maybe it's the difference of getting Aaron Rodgers or not. So I was surprised that teams like Philadelphia, teams like Denver, Carolina, didn't think about trying to trade back with Chicago to get the 1 and the 4 next year, because that's massive draft capital in a potential trade with Green Bay.
Mike, I know publicly the San Francisco 49ers just said they're hanging on to Jimmy Garoppolo despite drafting Trey Lance with the 3rd overall pick, but I was wondering about this. You know, Trey Lance only played 1 game this past season, 17 games at the FCS level. Like, I mean, how does that, you know, lack of playing time in 2020 impact the 49ers' plan to develop him in 2021 and beyond?
Yeah, you got to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, a decade ago, I was, you know, criticized for drafting Mark Sanchez, who only played 13 games for USC, and now this guy plays 1 game at the FCS level. And I happen to really like Trey Lance. I think he has a chance to be really, really good. And everyone that's met with him just talks about impeccable character, leadership, intelligence, like all the intangibles are there. But I don't think there's any way in good conscience, if you're running the 49ers, you could say, hey, you played 1 game this year at not even the best level of college football, and here are the keys to a franchise. Like, people don't understand, like, you're like basically dropping somebody off in the middle of China. And what I mean by that is, like, you're learning a new language. The playbook is a brand new language. And a lot of times, you're going to a part of the country you've never been to. It's your first job. And there's a lot to learn, let alone your teammates, your coaches. And, oh, by the way, by opening day, every bit of your opponent's tendencies. So to put that player in the best chance to be successful, I don't think there's any rush to get him on the field.
The aforementioned Jimmy Garoppolo will be on KJZ at 9:10 this morning. I want to get back to Aaron Rodgers with you quickly, Mike. Do you you think he plays more for Green Bay, or do you think his days are done there?
Dave, I got to know, I think it's the first time you ever used the word aforementioned. I mean, and not only that, it was like pristinely used. So
this is what we do.
I thought that was.
Well, you know what I'm trying to do, Mike? I know that you have now dipped your toe into the like lead hosting role, and I'm trying to give you words and ways that you can better yourself. And I think we've done that there.
I think so. I mean, I went to law school. I don't think I've ever used any law school professor use the word aforementioned as eloquently as you just did. But anyway, I digress. I think Aaron Rodgers, you know, here's the part that's interesting to me. Like, come out and say you're done there. Like, I don't understand why there has to be all this innuendo and sort of like, you know, half-spoken words. And like, if you're done, you're done. Like, just say it. And, I mean, looking at everything else everybody else is, yeah, I think he is done. And I think the real inflection point comes at training camp. And I think here's what's excruciatingly hard for Green Bay, which is, do you say, hey, this is Carson Palmer, and you're done, and you're going to be a Packer or no one? Or do you trade him and say, hey, we got to cut our losses? Those are painful, painful discussions that the Green Bay Packers are going to have.
Yeah, but Mike, I mean, Green Bay has a team, and they've been back-to-back NFC Championship games. They have a Super Bowl-ready roster with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, from everything I've heard, Jordan, I mean, he was the third-string quarterback last year with no offseason, no preseason, or anything else. Like, he hasn't really taken any reps. Like, how can they trade? Like, they're going to go with Jordan Love with that roster?
No, but what I'm saying is, at some point, if Aaron Rodgers says to them, I'm never playing here again, it's going to take you a while to get there, but at some point you're going to say, you know what, this could be Carson Palmer, who said, I am never playing for the Bengals again, and eventually they traded him. And if Aaron Rodgers is at that point, then that's what you say, hey, if we get a first-round pick, we're better off doing that than getting nothing. And that's where this story, guys, gets really interesting, is as we get closer to training camp.
Okay, hold on. Let me ask you this question then. If you're the GM of Green Bay and, you know, you've flown out, coach has flown out, apparently Gutenkunst's not a big fan of, he'd like to see him fired. But Mike Tannenbaum, you're the GM. You fly to see him and he says, the only way I stay is you give me a brand new deal, highest paid quarterback, and oh, by the way, I want you to trade Jordan Love. What do you do?
Well, first of all, I would keep working to get a solution. And my answer to that would simply be this. You know what, Aaron? If you really want me to trade Jordan Love, we will. But guess what? That's not in your best interest or our best interest, because we have to play 17 regular season games. And at some point, if you have a bump in the road and you're not available for a couple games, he'll give us the best chance to win. But if you feel like he can't be here, we'll do that. But I don't think that's in your best interest, because the better we do, the more money it puts in your pocket.
Mike, if you're team president, Mike Murphy, do you give any consideration to moving on from your general manager because Aaron Rodgers wants you to?
Yeah, look, Chris, that's a hard one for me, because, you know, I feel like I got stick up for my fellow, you know, the GMs of the world. And again, it's a very similar conversation, Chris. Like, I would say to Aaron Rodgers, like, whoever the GM was, they have a responsibility to the organization. So it could be Brian Gutekunst, it could be GM A, B, C, or D. It doesn't matter. They have a responsibility to the franchise. And maybe we could have communicated it better, which sounds like they could have. But at the end of the day, your job is to play football. Our job is to make the best decisions we can for the team. So I really hope it doesn't come to that.
Mike, I don't know if everyone else feels like this, but I feel like there's a pep in your step and really an energy that you're bringing to the table today.
Yeah, Dave, I take X2, an all-natural,
healthy
energy drink that you can get at x2performance.com. I hope you guys enjoy it as much as I do. It's good for you, and it produces energy naturally, and I appreciate you asking me.
Absolutely. Now, before we let you go, I don't know if you've learned this, because my co-host just learned it today. I'm launching a big podcast, like a big podcast with video elements and all sorts of big stuff. We're looking for guests moving down the road. I'd like to cordially invite you onto the podcast. Is that something you would entertain?
Absolutely. The more I can do stuff with DCR, the more I'm absolutely.
Great. We'll lock it in. Mike,
I'm embarrassed for you right now.
Why so?
Oh, no, you didn't want to talk about it. You didn't tell us about it because you didn't want to use our time on the show.
Well, you took an hour up of the show, so now I think all bets are off. Now I can talk about
now
it.
Now you're stealing guests.
You don't have to stay for what's going to happen. Thank you, and I'll reach out. We'll get you on the podcast. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. That is, of course, Mike Tenenbaum. Look at you. You're just air dirty laundry at the drop of a hat. At least can we say goodbye to him before you start up with me?
Now, listen, he said some things that I held my tongue a couple of times, like explosive with the ball in his hand. I mean, there were things I was going to say. I just chose not to.
You just couldn't hold it anymore, huh?
I couldn't hold it anymore. How well spun was that, though? What I would say to Aaron is, it's in your best interest that we keep Jordan Love.
Yes.
Beautiful.
That's what these guys
Beautiful.
Do. But like, how about
a good
the fact
point,
that he
Mike?
Thinks Aaron Rodgers is done in Green Bay, huh? He'll never take a never
they
snap
better
for
hope
the Packers.
Not. They better hope not. Could you imagine being one of the veteran guys in that locker room, going from Aaron Rodgers to... They get a chance to
compete
for Super
Bowl. Imagine if you're Aaron Jones and you're a free agent. You could have gone anywhere. You say, you know what, let me stay here. They're going to pay me a lot, and I have the best chance to win a Super Bowl. And now you're going to be with maybe Jordan Love as your starting quarterback?
Again, he gets hurt by not having an owner. The fact that they don't have an owner hurts Aaron Rodgers.
I agree with you.
Because, Chris asked the question, would the president fire the GM? if the thought of me not having, if I own Green Bay, and my option is, I have to trade Aaron Rodgers, and now, chances to win a Super Bowl out the window, or fire the GM. I think you know what that decision is going
to
be.
Yeah,
that's
a
slippery slope, though. That's a slippery slope when
you
let players start dictating to the personnel and the structure and the hierarchy in your organization.
I'll take my risk.
Yeah, he's so good, though. I agree.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.